Welcome to Bengals Scribe Session, presented by JosephOtto.com and Inquirer Sports. Here, your Bengals beat writers Paul Daner Jr. and Richard Skinner escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily. All with the sidecar of snark and absurdity you've come to expect. Let's go. We're about to start a party in here. He's made strums and guitar in here. Looks like we got a good crowd in here. Turn it up to 10 and get lively.
The ball is out.
Ball's
the Bengals have scooped
ball's
it up.
Out.
Terrence Newman running back to the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Up in the air. AJ Green makes the catch.
Oh man!
A deflected ball winds up in the hands of AJ Green and the clock hits zero.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Scribe Session. Super excited to have it. I'm trying to sound vibrant, Skinny.
I know. It's hard.
It is a little hard.
It's a rough Saturday night.
Not as hard as it normally is. Normally, we have the full day travel back from across the country or wherever we are. This one was just a drive back from Cleveland that we did after we got done at about 8:30, 8:45. Did the 3-4 hour trek back.
Kudos to a colleague from Dayton Daily News, Jay Morrison, who made the
our hero.
He was the driver. For the whole trip.
He was our knight in shining armor.
He was, or at least a knight in a Toyota Highlander. He was a warrior. Because all I remember is last night when I got home about 2 in the morning, I just poured myself into bed, and I don't even remember anything else for a while.
It's a consistent
kind of like
theme
what I did on Saturday night.
Yeah. gotta say, the trip to Cleveland was strong.
Yep.
Great Lakes Brewery Tour on Saturday. They make delicious brew. I gotta say, what was your the Christmas ale? It was really good. I know you're not a cinnamon guy, but
no,
I really liking the Christmas ale.
I like the Admiral,
the
Commodore Perry. The Commodore Perry. Fabulous.
You know what? I've had a lot of great.
I had an Elliott Ness.
Yeah,
several. I had a Dortmunder Gold. Several.
Yes.
And I had several of the Commodore Perrys.
Yes. They were there.
They were
for
delicious.
Purchase. They were there for purchase
fresh,
at the bar.
Fresh, piped in fresh from the brewery into the restaurant bar.
And
that
fresh
we
from the lake.
Fresh from the lake.
We learned all about how they brew the beer, how they bring the lake directly in, the lake water directly in.
And they did talk about it goes through a filtration process.
There's a number of filtration processes due to one of their beers, which is called Burning River, which
yes, indeed.
We know about.
You had one of those, didn't you?
The product. I did.
You had a Burning River, didn't you?
Several.
Yeah, okay.
I sampled. Well, they give you the couple of samples. If you get a chance to go to Cleveland and go on the Great Lakes
Do it.
It's
well
pretty
worth
cool.
It. 45 yeah. minutes to an hour at the very
it's free.
Most.
It's free. You get a couple free samples out of it. And that you learn all about their process.
Neat little district down there, a couple different restaurants, some shops. If you wanted to go to shops, we wanted no part of the shops.
Yeah.
But it was great.
The house where they filmed Christmas Story
is
only
gone.
2 blocks away from where Great Lakes
I know,
Brewery
we didn't go there, did we?
They had the big leg lamp in their gift area,
I love the
which
leg
was
lamp.
Pretty cool. I know, I wanted to go, but then I was like, you know what? It's just a house. That's all it is. It's just a house where they filmed a movie. I don't know, unless it was like open as a museum, then I don't really know why I'm there. You know,
I was just gonna go to a light pole and see if I can get my tongue stuck on it or not.
That'd be a terrible idea, by the way.
It would not have been a good
idea. Of all the things that happened to that movie, that's the one that you would actually do when you're trying to be out on a Saturday
Absolutely,
night.
Absolutely, just
cause. Call the fire department. Skis licking poles. All right, so let's talk about where this defense was at after what happened. 30-0, the Fighting Johnny Footballs were flattened, and looked absolutely inept. Boy, how sad are you if you're a Cleveland fan? I mean, if you are a Browns fan,
your hope on him being spectacular.
If we can really put into context how in love with Johnny Football this city was before yesterday's game.
I mean, literally, after the Bengals went down on that first drive, Paul, and just mowed down and got a penalty that kind of helped them along the way, but really mowed down the field on that opening drive. It's almost like the fans didn't care. There's a group of fans where the press box was. There's a group of fans that are literally stand up and can stand up right in front of us.
Man in front of us with a Falco jersey. Yes, it was pretty strong.
Yes, it was. Everybody flashing the Johnny Football money signs. And I'm thinking, your team is down 7-0. Is this what this game is about to you?
Absolutely it was. Absolutely it was. And it's not like it just started there. I mean, all weekend.
All weekend.
As soon as we got into the hotel, everywhere around town, it's money signs. The Bengals players were talking to us about it. They said, oh.
At dinner.
We went out to dinner. We were just walking through downtown. People are flashing. They said everywhere the bus went. Every turn the bus there, they see it's the Bengals, it's the money signs. And then it's the pregame. Everybody that gets caught on the board, with first thing they do, flashing the money signs. And he was god-awful.
It was awful. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. He was as bad as I've seen in a long time.
When you start uttering names like Spurgeon Wynn, you know that things have gone terribly wrong. And imagine that. So you're now you drafted this guy. You know he hasn't been playing.
You waited forever, and
everybody wants this guy to be their future. So you're not talking about this season now. Now you're talking about the next 2 to 3 years, and you're talking about future incarnations of the Browns. And you're already coming from a team. He's the 21st starting quarterback since you've come back, and he's this bad immediately. You have to be just in fetal tuck tears all night if you're a Browns fan.
Made bad decisions, had happy feet in the pocket, made poor throws, didn't have much on many throws. If you look what he did, he had the 132-yard completion to Josh Gordon that frankly was not the greatest of throws in the world either, and then he makes a nice run after that. The rest of the guys, longest receptions, 6'4", 9'4", 2".
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally dump off city or quick screen. He could not complete what would be considered a professional football pass.
No.
Something his in a semi tight window or a back shoulder throw.
He made bad decisions. He had no arm strength.
None.
He couldn't run.
That was the thing that surprised me, because I loved watching him play in college, and I really thought, okay, maybe he is a mold breaker. Maybe he can make his style of play work in the NFL. I just, after you watch him throw the football, honestly, AJ McCarron zips it better than that kid does.
That's really an insult.
It is. AJ McCarron.
That wasn't good. But let's talk beyond all of the hype and the drunk on a swan and the fight in the living room and the hype that you from Heisman Trophy and LeBron James and all this. Forget that it's even Johnny Football. Forget that it's a rookie in his first start. He played a major role in their general suctitude.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
But they also didn't run the ball.
They didn't run. And the Bengals did everything they needed to do to shut him down. And I don't care who you're playing in the NFL, you hold a team to 105 yards and
keep in
five
mind,
first downs, franchise record.
Two by penalty.
Two of those by penalty the Bengals just gave away. I mean, you're talking about us. That's four of the last 5 weeks now their defense has really shown up with
yes.
the blip against the number one ranked offense.
All on the road.
All on the road. Maybe they should be hoping to not win the division
maybe.
At this point.
Honestly, maybe.
As well as they've played on the road. But, I mean, you talk about the defense. What is it? Is it about quality that they're playing against? Or is it about their own consistency at this point as to why you have – they gave up 229 yards in one quarter in the final quarter against Pittsburgh and 105 against Cleveland. You know, they gave up all those rushing yards to Le'Veon Bell, but yet now the other four games they haven't given up more than 75 yards on the ground.
I think a lot of it goes to the quarterback position. And sure. One of those four games on the road was against Drew Brees. I will give you that. And Drew Brees was 33 of 43 that day. A lot of check down stuff, but it wasn't like he was completely awful. But you look at the common theme with those.
He only scored 10 points.
Correct. But those other three games, it was Ryan Mallett, it was Josh McCown, and it's Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you have That's to look fair. Any further than that. In the game in which you got torched, it's Ben Roethlisberger having arguably the greatest season of a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. But I think if you go back and you track back through some of these rates. So if you look at yards per play,
mm-hmm.
So if we go back and look at yards per play, this is their ranking out of 32 NFL teams where they stand. Baltimore, who the Bengals 2 wins again, is ranked 8th in mm-hmm. yards per play. Atlanta's ranked 6th. They shut them down. You've got New England at 11. Obviously, that didn't go well. Indy's at 5. So if you're looking at teams that are in the top – basically 10, 11. You're talking about Baltimore, Atlanta, New England, Indy, New Orleans, Pittsburgh. they played really well against about half of those.
Okay, and
defensively,
and so that makes you against the better teams on your schedule, a 500 team against them. What they've done is what you and I have talked about, Paul. When they have faced the dregs of this league, they've drilled them for the most part. Other than the Thursday night game here against Cleveland, I don't consider Cleveland the dregs of the league. At the time, they had a little karma going for them. You know, Andy Dalton certainly was the dregs of the league that night. Mm-hmm. But if you really look at the common theme, it's still whether New England's 11th in the league or not in yards per play. Look at what they're doing, putting points on the board with, right, especially with Brady. It's Brady, the Indy game. It's Luck. It's Ben Roethlisberger in the Steeler game. I'm forgetting one other blowout law. And then the Cleveland game here, which really it was honestly more the Bengals giving them gifts. If you look back on it,
that was all Andy Dalton.
You know, it's funny. You look and you see Cleveland ran for 170 yards that night, but it took them 52 times to do that. Mm-hmm. Because they kept getting the football back time and time and time again. Right. So I think the common theme to me, and it's the unfortunate common theme, is because a good quarterback is coming to town this week, is against bad quarterbacks and young quarterbacks, they're great. They have killed them primarily. They've absolutely killed them. I know you're going to look back and tell me about Matt Ryan, but I thought Atlanta was a train wreck up front offensively at that point in time. They were even having injuries on the line back and then. I just think the common theme is the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's possible, but I mean, when you hold New Orleans to 10, when you hold Atlanta to 10, you know, when you have these types of games, and really Indy, I mean, that was a lot of that's on the offense
too.
They gave up 27,
500 yards.
Yeah, they did.
At the end of the day,
they held the ball a lot.
They did, no question.
I mean, they had the ball for like over 40
because
minutes.
The Bengals couldn't make
because they couldn't get a first down.
Correct.
I mean, you're not working together, but I'm not saying they were great.
In the Orleans
game,
I'll give you. Hey, look, it's not that you're never going to stop a good quarterback. And really, again, I go back to that game. They didn't stop Drew Brees.
It
was 33-43.
Yeah. So what? They scored 10 points.
I agree. I understand that.
They funneled. They dictated where the ball goes.
They did. Thank you, Marvin.
The joke goes right
thanks,
here.
Thanks, Marvin.
Yeah. You know, it's. I wonder if it's about consistency or if it's just they're just not good enough.
Well, I think the consistency comes in because when they're playing the elite people, they're just not good enough. They are more than good enough. At the teams at their level, I think they're more than good enough. The teams below their level, they're way better than. I mean, they dominated that football team yesterday because the rookie quarterback is just terrible.
But the bottom line is
Ryan Mallett missed so many throws, Paul, in that Houston game. It would make me sick if I was a Houston Texans coach.
Right.
That kid was horrible.
Yeah, he wasn't good. Josh McCown, not good.
No, and that's it goes back to yes, they've done some good things against a couple of good quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Drew Brees. But obviously, despite some of those yardage numbers, there's a reason those two teams are sitting at 5-8 and 5-9 and still battling for a playoff berth because they're not very good.
So that's where your concern as a Bengals fan because those days are over. The bad quarterbacks are no longer on your schedule.
Exactly. From here on out, that's the point that has to be made. From here on out. The last two games especially, you want a litmus test to know whether this team has any chance in the playoffs or not. Show up the next 2 weeks and play
well. It won't
well.
Matter. They won't make the playoffs if they don't show up.
They may not. They could. There's
scenarios. They certainly could. I mean, if some things fall their way, they're scoreboard watching.
But
you
wouldn't have
game,
any
but.
Confidence as a fan or probably even as a player.
No, it wouldn't. It shouldn't even matter.
Right.
It's because you're not in the – I guess some would say, okay, if you're in the playoffs and you – get there and you find some way to squeak out a win against a Baltimore team that you match up well against.
Right.
Does that change the way you view it? If inside of this building, I don't know that it changes much.
Either.
It might win over a few Freds from Delhi, you know, that say, oh, they won a playoff game finally.
Take the baby step.
But I don't know that it changes the reality of what they're trying to accomplish is that they're not – it's about making a serious run. You've got enough talent on this team to make a serious run. So you've got to be able to do that. I want to bring in kind of to tie a bow around this conversation, bring in Paul Gunther because I talked to him a little bit today about a lot of it was about that consistency and finding it and trying to figure out why there has been these wild swings, things like that. So here's a little bit of defensive coordinator Paul Gunther just talking about kind of the state of his defense entering the final few weeks of the season.
You know, I got it from pretty good this week, you know, because the way we finished the game, you know, it's not how we want to finish the game like we did last week. So we just, you know, we got to continue to play more consistently all the way across the board. I told them we got 3 weeks left of the season. I'm going to give them everything I got for the next 3 weeks. And, you know, hopefully at the end of those 3 weeks, we'll be where we want to be. So we just got to keep playing consistent, keep playing with great energy, keep following the plan, understanding the plan. And if we do those things, you know, we've been fine. Just we've had some games where we've kind of blown up a little bit. You know, particularly in the games we lost. I mean, we've given up a lot of yards, a lot of points. So in the games we've played good and followed the plan, we haven't. It's pretty simple.
Did that make the shutout important, the fact that even though the game was in hand, like you said, finish the game?
No question. Well, I was on their ass all the way to the last, you know, one we had. I said, we're going to need one more drive. I want to keep them off the board. And, you know, it's just a mindset that our guys have to have. You know, I told them, regardless of the situation, when we're up by 20, you know, down by 20, ball's at the 5-yard line, the minus 5, we got to go out and play good defense all the time, regardless of the situation.
Well, but what's the one thing? I mean, Manning obviously is great. What is the one thing that you can't let him do? Manning?
Yeah. Have a clean pocket.
Gets rid of the ball.
Gets rid of the ball
so
front.
Fast. Yeah. I mean, faster than anybody in football. Mm-hmm. I mean, so how do you – his pocket's always kind of clean because he gets rid of it so fast.
Yeah,
well,
you got to do a good job in the coverage. They work hand in hand, you know. Yeah. So got to be tight in coverage, not give him a clean pocket to me. And then they've been running the ball pretty good lately. You know, after the St. Louis game, they lost that one. I think they threw the ball like 27 times at the end of the game in a row. They kind of came back and committed to the running game a little bit more.
Probably don't. I mean, you got plenty left in front of you this season. Probably not getting reflective necessarily. But how different, how much have you maybe even changed in the way that you do things from the beginning of the year through this year, your first year doing it, you know, feeling like you're in a different spot now, maybe?
Well, obviously, you know, I don't think it's changed all that much. You learn as you go. It's just like any other job. You know, you learn, you know, you make mental notes through the season. Say next year, you maybe in OTAs, I'll do this a little bit differently. In training camp, I'll do this a little bit differently. Because you got, you know, those are things that, you know, kind of show up a little bit. Like, you know, one of the things I know that I got to make sure the second and third team guys are getting enough reps. You know, sometimes you always have the, you know, you want your starting group to be in there all the time in this, you know, in the spring and in training camp so they build a chemistry. But it's so vital that, you know, obviously, what we went through this year with guys going down, you know, yeah. It's just, you know, it can't be where a guy goes in there on week 10. It's the first, you know, one play cost you. You know, one run fit against Pittsburgh cost you when you're not getting over the top of a puller.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
So we can continue to make the argument about consistency and quality and all those types of things. But I think that one thing that you have learned, this defense can do it. I mean,
yeah.
And I think they're healthy enough. And they're not, you know, obviously Perfect's not coming back. They're healthy.
Lemur got dinged yesterday. Got dinged.
But they're healthy enough that really they have a lot of the same guys that were here in 2012 when the Bengals last played Peyton Manning. You know, I mean, a good majority of them.
It just feels like if the front four can just be disruptive, that's the difference maker. And you literally have at least two all-pro caliber players in that mix in Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap that
right.
can do it. You know, Wallace Gilberry, he's a trier. We like him. He's not a Pro Bowl-level player.
No.
And obviously, you know, neither is the other rotation attack with Pecco.
Thompson.
Thompson played great yesterday.
I have been saying this for a long time.
That's a little bit of a wild card there because he's really shown some flashes.
Yeah, somebody explain to me how all I see is Brandon Thompson making plays.
Yep.
He's been more of a difference maker than I've seen out of Domantha Pecco.
No question.
But yet his snap count has not really increased much.
It did. I thought he played. I have to go back and look.
In the Pecco injury game.
Oh, yeah.
When Pecco got banged up, he got a few more snaps. But that was a blip. And I just keep saying.
Felt like he got more snaps yesterday. I have not looked at the official snap counts from yesterday.
He was down there right around the same number as Devin still had.
Was it really? It didn't feel like.
Well, the difference is Cleveland only took like 38.
38 snaps. They had 38 plays. Snaps.
So you're talking about. You're talking about a fewer number in general, but the percentages, it was right around where it probably has been for him. I'm surprised by that. I really think that he's earned more.
I do too.
More run.
And maybe, you know, maybe it's one of those that here we are at this point in time where it's no longer worrying about whether a guy can play or not. We saw it with Jeremy Hill that we'll get into in a little bit. It's time. If a guy's better than a veteran, the guy plays. It's that simple.
And I feel like Thompson's an example of that. He should be playing over Tom Pelinka at this point.
And then the reverse of the one other part to get to is, I think you also saw yesterday, I know Drake Kirkpatrick's had his moments with double moves and had a hard time.
He's playing pretty good.
But he's playing pretty well, and I think it shows you that while they're a little bit banged up in the secondary right now, the reason for consistently drafting corners is you just have to have them. If you don't, you're dead in the water. I mean, you just have no chance in this league.
Yeah, league, you absolutely have to cover, because you can always, if you're having problems stopping the run, you can always stack the box and force your corners to cover if they're good. And corners get injured so often, you know. It's just the nature of the game with the hamstrings and their little guys out there. So, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, way Drake Kirkpatrick has played, you know, I think you feel a lot better about
light bulbs going off for him a little years. Bit.
Yeah, I think so. And I think so. And I think he's gained a lot from playing so well as a gunner on special teams too, feeling like he has a role and is a big part of the team.
And in talking to him yesterday, and I've talked to Darquez Denard about this, they both understand who they're playing behind.
Right.
They realize they're playing behind three really good guys. He said that yesterday. He said, look, it's not like it's guys our age that are beating us out. He said, these guys has earned their keeps. And they have. And so it's hard if you're those guys to argue with that. So you have to take one of two tracks of woe is me or I'm going to learn from them. And honestly, Dre's a little bit of a loose cannon, but I think he wants to play this game for a long time. And I think he soaked up some of what those guys have taught him.
Yeah, and you know, I talked to Paulie G about it. This wasn't part of the you guys listened to, but asked him just about Dre and if that was a promotion or if that was – Adam's a little dinged up. He doesn't need to be
just limited snaps.
And he basically said it was kind of because Adam was dinged up. But I think to have that confidence in the guy that you can have your fourth corner and say no problem
in a must win game.
In a must win game, no problem. Go out there, play. You're our guy.
He was great.
Yeah, and
the interception. Paul, the numbers suggest with what Andrew Hawkins and Josh Gordon did. They combined for 5 for 55, and one of those was a 32-yard catch and run by Gordon.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, there's no doubt about it. So, yeah, I mean, they're in a good place. I think they're in a good place with that. I'd be interested to see now, in the, maybe against Peyton Manning, how much more run he gets out there with Adam being a week healthier and if Terrence comes back off his ankle injury. How much? I mean, you could argue they've gotten a spark from Kirkpatrick back there, too. Say what you want. I mean, he's very opportunistic. Well, he's gotten a lot of interceptions in his snaps he's had in his career.
And when you play Denver, too, as much as they like to run guys deep, I mean, they don't always throw it deep. But, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is probably going deep on a bunch of plays. Demaryius Thomas is going deep on a bunch of plays. You know, those deep crossing routes. You may even need to rotate corners just to keep them fresh. I mean, you don't need a corner out there who's just ran a go route and then have to come back and line up and do it again. Hey, get him off the field. Get Dre on for a play or two. Get Darquez on for a play or two and keep him fresh.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's where the defense stands, and that'll obviously be a defining factor on Monday night. Oh, Monday night, primetime.
Going to be fun.
Here we go. Here we go with the primetime storyline again, Skinny.
It's a storyline.
It's honestly exhausting.
You know, it is, but you know the old saying about a stereotype. A stereotype is a stereotype because it's true.
Because it's true.
And until you do something positive in primetime, as soon as you don't crap down your leg in primetime, forget playing. Okay. I mean, they have
just be you know,
competitive. Get the game to the fourth quarter or something.
Yeah, I mean, and not be completely embarrassed. How would your perception of this team change if they were to beat Peyton Manning on Monday Night Football?
I would tell you, I would say they have a decent enough chance then to win the AFC.
Yeah, I would too.
To win the entire thing.
It would absolutely be a complete
And if you somehow went to Pittsburgh with either a playoff berth, in this case, they'd clinch a playoff berth, but with maybe a division title on the line, maybe even some level of home field on the line, and you were to do that in back-to-back weeks to end this on top of a 30-0 destruction, if you don't go into the playoffs without a bunch of confidence, crazy. Again, the flip side, though, is...
I think you would, if they did that, I think you would argue that they would be behind New England as the favorite in the AFC.
Right.
If they really did pull off both those wins.
Yep.
Do we think that's going to happen? No.
Probably. Based on the track record of this year,
no,
the answer is absolutely no.
It's just been the way it's gone. I mean, they haven't been able to beat the good teams, and they've beaten the heck out of the not so good teams. No more not so good teams on the schedule. So,
but I think they've done two things here, though. I think
they found something.
I think,
and we'll get into it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think they found something. That's the part for me. Offensively, we'll touch on this in a little bit. That's what I think they found out what they are, who they are.
Yeah, and I think that's important. Let's talk about the running game, because this is really where, when Hugh Jackson took over as offensive coordinator on the 9th of January, he sold the idea, which was something that I heard a lot talking to players with in the wake of the loss to San Diego. The Bengals should have done what San Diego did. If you look back after the Bengals beat San Diego last year in San Diego, they went back and they decided we're going to be a running team. We are going to run the heck out of the ball. The Chargers said that's what going to be our what defines us, and they started winning.
Because Phillip Rivers is one of those plus-minus quarterbacks. He can make you 10-plus plays and make four bad throws, and you're like, you threw for 380 and four touchdowns, and yet you threw four picks.
They took some of that off of his hands and made it a running game. They had so much success. Then they came into Cincinnati with that game plan, executed it. Rivers hardly threw any passes in that game. I mean, they just ran the ball. They ran it effectively. They ran it like the Bengals did yesterday against Cleveland.
Forced the mistakes of Andy Dalton.
Yeah, and it's how you – it is a proven method of how you can win games in January. Seattle proved that last year. Granted, their defense is a whole different ball of wax. But San Francisco was another great team last year in the way they played the same way. They ran the ball. They ran it effectively. They didn't let their quarterbacks make bad mistakes to kill them. These are teams similarly built to the Bengals with quarterbacks that can hurt you that aren't these. They're not Aaron Rodgers. They're not Tom Brady. So what the Bengals did with the promotion of Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard as the backup, whatever you want to call it, diminished role, more of a third down passing back. I think that's what I mean, we've been talking about this all year, that that's what they should be.
It's what it had to be.
This is exactly what this team should be. And what happens? 244 yards on the ground, second most in the Marvin Lewis era, and Jeremy Hill just pounding the rock. And Gio keeping him off balance as well. Gio had a great game in that role. If what happened against Cleveland is a sign of what this offense is going to look like over the next few weeks, maybe they can make that run because that's who they need to be.
Jeremy Hill he's an absolute difference maker. Yeah. He is already emerging as one of the best backs in this league.
Yeah,
and all you have to do, and we watched him from the get go. You could see it from training camp. The guy just is a great looking running back. He's big. He's way faster than you think he is. Mm-hmm. Great vision. I mean, all the stuff that you want from a back. He gets to a second level, he's going to make a 4-yard gain, a 12-yard gain. And he's one of those backs that realizes, if I'm only going to get 2 yards out of this, I'm going to get a third because I'm going to lower my pads and I'm going to get that third yard for you. That's the difference. Gio's a different runner. He's just a different style. If you want to go with a power running game, Jeremy Hill should have been your guy from the get-go. If you want to be a 40 pass per game, spread people out with three wides and have Gio Bernard in there as a change of pace, okay, but that's not what this team is all about, and that's not what this team does best.
The offensive line is built on power running.
No question.
And guys like Kevin Zeitler, who had a great game
he was fabulous.
Cleveland, just blowing people away.
And he's athletic enough. They were pulling people that they haven't done in a while.
Yeah, and Whitworth doing a lot. Yep. Whitworth has done a lot of pulling from the tackle position. I mean, they've done a lot of that, and it fits Jeremy Hill's style.
No question.
Quick, right through it, power your way through the creases. And they may have found something. And we'll find out because Denver is no slouch
against the run
at
exactly
all.
Exactly right.
They've been great against the run this year.
But it
year.
Goes back. You got to be. And I thought Marvin had a great quote that I used from yesterday. And it was, you know, in the Cleveland game, the earlier matchup he was talking about, the game in Cincinnati, he said, you know, we had some success early, meaning running the football. He said we kind of got away from it. And I think one of the things for and maybe it's a Hugh Jackson thing of, you know, if you have 2 yards on first down, run it again on second down. And even if you get three or four, you've got a much more makeable third down for Andy Dalton. I thought a great call from yesterday, one of them, I think they were in a third and three or third and four. And by formation, I even turned to you, I said, oh, this is going to be a run. You're going to watch these guys pull. You can see it. You could see it coming.
Yeah.
Third and three, they pulled a couple guys through. Jeremy runs for about 12, 14 yards, gets a huge gainer out of it. And I think that's your formula. You just go back to, and it's no secret, Andy Dalton is not going to win games with his arm. You want him to not lose games for you. That's it. Period. End of story. And one way to do it is run the football.
Yeah. and not fall behind.
Yeah, well.
But that's part of running the football.
Yeah.
You know, holding the ball, sticking keeping it close, not getting to the point where you have to be, where you're down 2-3 scores.
And I think that's where Hugh's falling into a trap at times. When they've fallen behind a score, even two, at some of these different stages of games, it's almost like panic sets in of, uh-oh, I got to get in a shootout with these guys. No, he's not a shootout quarterback. I'm sorry he's not. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
So keep sticking to the running. If you're down 10-0 to Denver early on Monday night, stay with the running game. Stay with it until you've absolutely failed at it, because it's what you do best.
We'll see what we're talking about next week at this time. If we're talking about the running game breaking through against one of the best rushing defenses, there's reason to believe. I mean, who knows what will happen? But I think they finally have the setup that they've needed for a long time, and found confidence in that running game. The guys up front believe in it. Jeremy Hill obviously is a believer in it. If it wasn't for Odell Beckham Jr., I mean, if it wasn't for him, you're talking about, I mean, rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, and he may still, if he goes and has two more big games like he has, I mean,
finishes with 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns or 11 touchdowns. That's pretty good, averaging 5+
and
a carry,
and he's got another 300-400 yards, in receptions. I mean, you're in leads a Bengals team that is resurgent. I mean, I think he's absolutely in that conversation, even over Beckham.
Yep.
I mean, that's the type of guy he's been. I mean, it's just amazing when you think that it was not that long ago when this road trip started and Giovanni Bernard got hurt, and all the Jacksonville game and everything. Well, it wasn't that long ago. You didn't know anything about Jeremy Hill, really. And now he turns out that he's taken the whole thing over.
All he needed was carries. That's all he needed.
Yeah. And now he's getting it. Speaking of getting carries and playing hard, let's talk about Jermaine Gresham.
Oh yeah, let's.
This is a fun little gem. The latest in the long line of I don't feel so great today, I'm not going to play, out of Jermaine Gresham. We've seen this before. It's his DNA, essentially. I mean, it's his resume here in Cincinnati. Is he, for the most part, ain't playing through pain for you.
Football, absolutely, to me, for him, football seems like an absolute chore and job to him. It doesn't seem like there's any, takes any joy out of the game at all. And look, they're professionals, and it is a job, and it is a hard job. I'm not here to discount that part of it, but it just seems like, to me, he takes no joy out of playing this game. And I think you see in Adam Jones yesterday, who loves the game of football, whatever else you think of Adam Jones, you can think whatever you want, that's fair. The guy loves the game of football. Probably didn't have to play yesterday either. I mean, he was in some pretty good pain from what we understand.
He's playing through a lot of pain. I mean, there's a reason that he moved back to the nickel corner, because, I mean, they needed to limit his snaps. He was hurting, but he said he's going to play through it.
Sucked it up, came up with the interception at the goal line.
The game was too important to him to not play.
Yep.
And yet he was out there, but yet Jermaine
Gresham. From what I understand, Terrence Newman pushed himself to the nth degree to try to play, and just absolutely could not do it.
Couldn't backpedal off of his ankle. So the situation with Jermaine Gresham is, as it transpired, is this: on Friday, he sustained a toe injury
Thursday. I think he showed up in injury report.
Yes, he did. So on Friday, speaking with a few of us, I asked Marvin Lewis about Jermaine Gresham, if he's going to play. He said, he'll be fine. He's going to play. And he said a couple of other guys he'll have to check on, meaning Terrence and Adam is who he's talking about. Gresham's fine. Okay, and Marvin lies to us all the time.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Right.
But this, I think he was kind of just sort of matter-of-fact about it. He'll be okay.
Yeah.
And said after the game as well on Sunday that they fully expected him to play. So what we heard was that basically he came out and the pain in his toe was too much for him to think that he could go and play through it and handle it and play a majority of the game. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They probably weren't even asking him to go play the whole game.
Right.
They were probably going to ask him to do a limited role, much like
Kevin Brock
much like Adam Jones did.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just reduce snaps, but still be out there and be part of it and at least be a decoy or somebody for them to think about. Well, I mean, so from everybody around you telling you that he's okay, he should be fine, running around in pregame, everything appeared to be fine. And other people were reporting he actually looked great doing some of that stuff. You know, those that were really tracking it super closely. And then all of a sudden, boom, inactives come, and he is not playing. And, I mean, it's happened before. It's just the latest, and it's just the biggest reason why there's no belief in this guy.
No.
And players don't feel like he's fighting for them or with them. And thinking about himself, I mean, he's going to be a free agent. He probably doesn't make sure he doesn't do something that could be a long-term thing that suddenly hurts his stock.
I'll tell you, you know what he could do something to make it a long-term thing? Catch something and break a tackle.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. So on top of this is all enough, right? So then after that, you have an incident that happens on the Bengals radio network with our good friend Dave Lapham, who is in the locker room. I was right in between this one.
I was actually right next to it when it happened.
Yes.
Because I was interviewing somebody else.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Jermaine walks by and had heard via text message from somebody that Lapham had called him a quitter in the pregame show, which is not true. And Lapham says, as he said later, I'll roll the tape for you. You can listen to it. I did not do that. I'm sure he did have very serious words for him. But, you know, you talk about, you know, so he comes by. Next thing you know, there's a back and forth yelling. Lapham is live on air.
Yes. Yes.
Interviewing Marvin Lewis. And all you hear is the back and forth. Here's what I'm gonna do. I want to bring in. I do have the audio. Thanks to our friends at the Bengals Radio Network. This is from after the game. This is the first in two mini parts of the conversation between Jermaine Gresham and Dave Lapham, which went live over the air.
A couple of times watching the back and realizing Johnny had the football and playing two guys at once. It was amazing to watch what they did and the tackle for losses that took place.
I can't hear you. No, I can't.
What'd say? What's that? I didn't say anything about quit on anybody. No, I didn't. We'll run the tape. We'll run the tape. There was never a word quit. Never. So widening the defensive ends a little bit and taking it upfield.
Well, I mean, we had.
Didn't say that, man. Didn't say that, Jermaine Gresham. Didn't say that. You want to tell us? You want to talk about it? All right. Jermaine Gresham. Doesn't want to talk. All right, I will.
So there's that. So you hear Lap say it. It's I'll roll the tape for you, you know. So it's the latest, and this was stuff that a lot of people probably would like to hear, wanted to hear said.
Right.
Lapham is as in tune with this team as anybody that is around this team. And there's no doubt that how could you not? If there's one way to lose your teammates in this league, it is by them thinking that you're not fighting for them, with them. Not willing to go to war with them, as they'll say around here.
Yeah, I will tell you for some background. Like, he seems to be well-liked enough in the locker room.
Yeah.
He's obviously not very good with us, to say the least.
Well, he just chooses not to.
He's not rude, but he just doesn't want to be interviewed, doesn't want to be talked to. And that's fine. You don't want to talk. But, you know, there's a little pattern here of late, though, with him. I mean, he comes out to the field for practice later than everybody else.
Yeah.
I think he actually has to pay fines for that based on kind of the...
They gave him, like, a little standing ovation.
Yeah, the one
round
day
of applause
came out,
one day
when
he came
when
out
showed
late.
Up, he was showing up late. And that hasn't happened all year. I mean, it seems like it's a little trend here of late. I don't know what would have set that off. He's a strange guy. I mean, he's a very strange guy.
Strange.
And, you know, you would think that you are fighting for a contract. They have given you 50 catches. Now, granted, a lot of those are two-yard checkdowns, but again, you are allowed to break a tackle, last I checked.
Right.
You're coming off a game in which you caught a touchdown, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he just seems like he's almost checked out, and I don't understand that.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody does. But the bottom line is this, is you saw what the answer is. Ryan Hewitt's the answer.
Ryan Hewitt, the tight end position, though, Paul.
He can help you out there.
I got to see it to believe it. I like the role he's in. I think he's been fabulous. But as a full-time tight end, I got to see that to believe that.
That's fine, but he's depth.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
You're not down to
Kevin Brock.
Kevin Brock and whoever else you pull off the street.
Marshall Newhouse is a second tight end a bunch of times.
Right. You're not forced into that.
When's Tyler Eifert coming back?
Don't do it. Don't do it to me. Tyler Eifert is off the table as a question that anybody's allowed to ask anymore. And you're just doing it just to get a rise out of me, and I don't like
it. It's coming.
I don't like it at all.
Is he coming back soon? Think he'll be back by the end of the year? Will he play in the playoffs, Paul?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
He's hurt, and he's probably not coming back, Skinny.
Okay.
You need to let it go.
I was told by the coach twice in the last month he's progressing.
He's progressing.
That's what I've been told by the coach.
Yeah, he looks like he's really progressing. Mm-hmm. Burfict was really progressing,
yes,
too.
Yes, he was. He progressed himself right on the IR.
Right on the IR. Yeah, as he limped around the locker room and looked like he needed like one of those old people wheelchairs to go up steps,
yep.
You know? but he was progressing.
Yeah, he was progressing. Yes, he was.
He's looking good. He actually looks a lot better. IR tomorrow.
Yes.
I don't know what to make of this situation. It is what it is. But I mean, if it was not already sealed that there's not going to be a whole lot of interest in Jermaine Gresham returning to the Bengals, it may have just sealed.
And there's not
going to
be a whole lot around the league. He'll find himself. He's too young and still too talented. And honestly, in the run game, he's actually a very good player in the run game. He's a very good blocker in a run game. He will land somewhere, but he's not going to get anywhere near whatever money he might have thought he was going to get. And maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. It's hard to tell with a guy.
Well, the Bengals definitely won't give it to him. The Bengals will have a very low offer on the table, and it will stay on the table. And if he can go get money somewhere else, he can.
And if not,
they'll say more power to you.
And I told you this before.
Congratulations.
If not, I'd still bring him back. Until you have a better solution on this roster, if it's at your price, I'm still bringing him back.
That guy is so confounding for coaches.
There's going to be a lot of coaches
saying, you know what, let's just
But
let's
shame
look
on
elsewhere.
Them then if they haven't put a foot up his butt so far. Shame on him.
At a certain point, you're just stuck with your foot in a butt.
No, I guess so. That's a possibility.
I mean, you know.
Or I know this might be out of spite. I say, you know what, we just won a game 30-0 without you. Kevin Brock blocked just fine. We'll use Marshall Newhouse as a second tight end. Have a good day.
I mean, it's possible.
DNP coach's decision or an active coach's decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible.
It is possible.
I'll
tell you what, if I had a player quit, I wouldn't. You can't stand for that. You cannot stand for that. Look, the flip side of this is everybody's pain tolerance is different. I can't tell you if you're hurt that you better play hurt. I can't say that to anybody. But based on how this situation transpired, it doesn't sound like he was too hurt to at least give it the old college
If you're
try.
Running around and looking fine in pregame, which has happened. It's different.
I
this
know
is
that.
The first time.
I realize
this
that. I'm not trying to give him a pass.
Offender.
Trust
yeah.
me, I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. You, there's a lot of guys playing hurt right now, and a lot of guys playing a lot more hurt than Jermaine Gresham
I agree.
Is because they have to.
Adam Jones was one of them.
Adam Jones is one of them, and yeah, I'm sure he wasn't. I'm sure that was probably a conversation that was
It
had.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. all right, let's push this thing forward. So Denver Monday night at Pittsburgh. Are your last two games. We've talked a little bit about that. Good luck to you. I mean, you can't draw up a more challenging 1-2 than Manning in prime time and a trip to your arch rival that just, you know, swallowed you up by 21 in order to get in the playoffs. But, hey, it's a big boy league. If you want to play in the playoffs and try to pretend you're a big boy, you got to beat them.
Unless you're in the NFC South.
Oh, yeah, then you don't do anything.
Doesn't matter.
Just
yeah.
show up pretty
show
much.
Show up, you're good.
So here's where it stands. The Bengals are
one win and they're in.
One win and they're in. That's where you just need to start right there.
Yep.
If they can win one of the last two, they are in the playoffs.
You win the last two, you've won the division because
yeah.
So those are your two scenarios right off the top.
Right off the top. The doomsday scenario is the one that to pay attention to. So theoretically, Manning, Roethlisberger both pull off wins.
Bengals go 9-6-1.
Bengals go 9-6-1. They are needing help from three other teams that are currently 8-6 or Baltimore losing their last two.
And that's not going to happen.
Highly unlikely that Baltimore
because they
will
have
lose
Cleveland coming
two.
To their place to end it.
Yeah, the fighting footballs.
Yes.
So you've got Kansas City, San Diego, Buffalo, those three teams all would need to lose once.
One game. And
one of the last two. And the Chiefs play the Chargers the last game of the season.
And the Chiefs play the Steelers coming up this week.
Right.
So, and
but that game is really irrelevant for the Bengals.
Correct. That's correct. And Buffalo still
has
to go to New
England. Unless they were to win on Monday night. In the doomsday scenario, that game is irrelevant. They should be rooting for Pittsburgh.
Yes, correct.
If you're worried about just
because you
in,
control your own destiny in that regard.
Right. Yeah.
You got
to go to Pittsburgh and win. It wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. If I'm a Bengals fan, here's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for San Diego to lose at Frisco this week. Buffalo is not losing at Oakland, so you root for them to lose against New England in the final week on the road, and you root for Kansas City to lose this week against Pittsburgh, because that eliminates then San Diego would be eliminated with a loss at Frisco. Kansas City would be eliminated with a loss at Pittsburgh, and Buffalo would still be in play at 9-6
and
going into
house by New England.
Correct.
And so,
because New England will still be probably playing for the number one overall seed in the conference.
Yeah, because under this scenario,
Denver still would be in
Denver
play.
Denver had won.
Correct.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and Bill Belichick ain't resting anybody.
That is correct.
Anything.
It's not what he does.
He runs up the score every week and keeps his ball rolling.
Yep.
But Buffalo's playing pretty good.
They are. Their defense
has now taken Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and not let him throw a touchdown pass.
And a gutsy decision to go to Kyle Orton when they did, because it seemed like it was the absolute
their
wrong
offense
decision
is still dreadful.
To make. It is dreadful, but he's made a couple plays. And
he's not throwing the ball to the other team as much.
And that's a big part of it.
As E.J. Manuel was. Yeah. And that's fine. But their defense is the real
deal.
It
is. Very good.
They are all over the quarterback. And so they'd have to do something to Tom Brady in New England.
Yep.
Good luck to you. But I would say if you look at that alone, I think there's a pretty good chance that those three teams will all lose.
I would
one.
Agree. Yeah.
I think that's, you know, you're feeling, I think the Bengals should be feeling pretty good about actually making the postseason. Now, winning the North, essentially you're going to have to win in Pittsburgh.
I mean, yes.
And you could lose to Denver, win in Pittsburgh, and you just need Baltimore to lose a game.
It's still not very feasible. They're not going to go to Houston, in my opinion, to lose to the Fighting Savages, and they're not going to lose to the Manziels. I don't see it. I think you have to win out to win the division.
Houston could win.
Could win.
Houston's got a good
defense.
Tom
Savage.
It is Tom Savage. I wish it was Fred Savage. Wonder Years?
Joe Namath Jets jacket. Oh, I used to have one of those.
Did you?
I did when I lived in New York for a couple years.
Wow.
Love that.
That was
I still
my
have
favorite
my New York
artifact.
Jets piggy bank.
They took a bunch of
loved it.
I don't know if you knew this. They took a bunch of Wonder Years merchandise.
They did.
And put it in the Smithsonian.
I know that. And that's one of them. That's
yeah,
in there,
one
right?
Of them, yeah, I said that jacket. It should be like where it starts.
Absolutely,
right.
It's
there.
The best.
It's the best part of that whole show. I love that. I love those guys. Oh, Winnie Cooper.
Danica McKellar.
She's all grows up now.
Yeah, she's like a biophysicist or something like that. Went to UCLA. Yeah, she's a bright young lady.
Tractor career.
Yep, I did. Stalker.
So yeah.
Nah, there's an article in People magazine. Life gets people. I read it.
Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah, something
people.
Like that.
That was the magazine. So Fred Savage is going to try to lead.
Not
going to
happen.
I'm telling you, they,
not
they
happen.
Hung, listen, with Fred Savage, they hung with Indianapolis. Indianapolis plays, they never win.
Hung and then took the what?
They took the L.
Took
it was,
the L.
But it was close. It was close. I mean, Baltimore's. If they could just make a few throws, Baltimore's secondary is bad and falling apart worse. They lost two more guys again yesterday, including Asa Jackson, and they already were pulling Antoine Kaysen off the street.
Right.
So. I mean, you talk about a team that could be exposed in the passing game, and they've got weapons to do it with DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson. They just got to find a way to get on the ball somehow.
Maybe your best case scenario is to go to Baltimore for the playoff game.
I think so. Well, of course it is. I absolutely agree with you. I think if I'm the Bengals, that's
trying to win three times against Baltimore, twice in their season.
They're your best matchup.
They probably are. I'm not.
They're your of all the teams out there.
They probably
if
are.
You're talking Pittsburgh. Hell no. You want no part of Pittsburgh.
Yep, you're right.
You want no part of Pittsburgh and Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
You have stopped Baltimore twice. At least you know how to beat them. You know you have
you've done
beat
it.
Them, and they have a secondary that AJ Green could absolutely toast.
Torch.
And you just need Andy Dalton to not choke.
Yep.
And then the other ones, the other games, I mean, Indy, we saw that went.
Yeah, it was without AJ Green, though. I'm going to give it, there's a little pass there I'm going to give.
Maybe.
A little pass.
Yeah, but still.
Leon Hall dropped an early pick six, changed all the momentum, changed the whole complexion.
Yeah, didn't score a point.
Didn't score a point, but it changed. That would have been playing from ahead, as you like to say.
I'd still rather play at Baltimore than
you.
At Indianapolis.
I would agree.
New England, you want no part of that. That's an L.
Yep.
And Denver, you don't want any part of going to Denver.
No, correct.
So, I mean, that, in my opinion, if you're looking for the way to go, maybe that's the way. Maybe that's the way.
I think
and getting on the road has not been a bad thing. Let me just, the team has been housing people.
If you have any belief that this team can win a playoff game, they need to win the last two. That's it. That's the end game.
They gotta win one of the last two.
The end game to this is,
I think you'd be okay with them playing very close to Peyton and then winning at Hines.
Oh, okay. Yes, I would. I'll give you some of that. I'll give you some of that.
With Denver, feel like you had a chance.
I'll give you some of that.
Even if you take the L and then win in the last week of the season, I think you'd feel semi-confident going into the playoff game.
Yes.
That they could win.
I'll give you some of that.
Of course, you probably felt semi-confident they could win last year against San Diego.
At home.
When I predicted on 700WW.
What was the score again?
It would be an exorcism of like 45-10 or something stupid like that. I don't know. I don't want to hear the tape. I'm not going to play the tape back.
No,
I'm not
going
to roll the tape.
It was complete head spinning around like the Exorcist.
It was.
Pea soup coming out of mouths.
There was an exorcism, yeah. It wasn't quite the one that I think the Bengals fans hope for. But yeah, so I don't know. It's a defining 2 weeks to how this team could be in January or not be in January at all. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be very interesting, and when we look back on this season years from now, we will remember these last 2 weeks and probably very little of what happened before it.
You're probably right.
It will be fairly irrelevant. They put themselves in a position to play these two games.
Look, before the season started, I predicted 11-5, and they still have a chance to basically finish that way.
I predicted 9-7, and they still got a pretty good chance.
I know,
and
that's the
that
funny part. And that's the funny part to this. But it's happened in a completely different fashion than the way I predicted game
right.
by game it was going to come about. That's the funny part to all this.
Yeah, it really has. Although it's the same thing we talked about. It would be how they handle this late schedule.
That was the
and that's where we differed. That you thought they would play well on it,
yep.
And I thought they would fade. And we're about to find out who was right.
Yes, we are.
The next 2 weeks, me. Not that I don't necessarily believe that. I would like to be right selfishly, but I don't really care.
The best part is you haven't been right much at all this year. That's the great part of this. And so
I'd
like you to be right here at the end too, Paul. But
I don't care.
But my ego
it's
says
not about,
I
it's not
I
about
be right.
being right. Okay?
No, it's not. It's
about
not.
Being a team player.
I'm a team guy.
Listen,
that's why I'm here doing this podcast with you tonight.
You are. You are. It's your off day, but yet you came in.
Here I came.
Just talk
you.
With me to, about
just
God
you.
Knows what.
Exactly.
I mean, all right. Well, congratulations on that. Well, you want to get out of here?
Sure. I got a song now for us. You know what we got to play, don't you?
Rocky Mountain High.
Yeah, I thought about that one. That's too cheesy.
It is too cheesy.
It's got to be the theme of The Exorcist. It's got to be, does it not?
If it's going to be yet another exorcism,
yes,
yeah, the full head spinning,
yep.
vomiting, or it will be the exorcism moment.
There you go.
Of actually finally putting the prime time.
You got to find the theme. You got to find the theme and play the theme.
I'll find it.
I know you will.
It's the internet.
And if not, if you can't find it, guess what you need to play then?
What?
Rocky Mountain High.
Oh no, I won't do that to people.
No? Okay.
You, unless you want to finish it out,
no,
you can
no,
keep
I really
going.
No,
before this season's over, you're rapping 50 Cent.
I will
in the
I
club.
Will do it. I'm not going to sing John Denver though. I promise.
That's for the best. But you. Will
Although
rap.
We did sing Country Roads.
We did.
Back on Beyond the Stripes.
We did.
Speaking of which, who's the guest tonight, Paul?
Darqueze Dennard.
There you go.
Super excited to have him. And then on the 23rd, we have Kevin Huber booked.
Nice.
Which is exciting because he'll bring the family.
Yes,
it'll
he
be
will.
A big Christmas. It's going to be an ugly Christmas sweater edition.
Yep.
So we'll all get ugly Christmas sweaters and Doc will wear his purple.
Or his pink.
Or his
he
pink.
He had the pink yesterday. He had the
or
pink
his
Sunday.
Pink with the blue scarf.
Adam Jones even asked him, he goes, "What are you doing?" I walked away when I heard that.
Yeah.
I knew what that was about. That had to be about the sweater.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's come up quite a bit now because Doc was even writing about it in his morning line today about how he doesn't understand where all the snark is coming from. Why? When did it become that men can't wear purple? And why is he getting so much hate for wearing purple? I mean,
you know, men can wear purple, Paul. I got no problem. Men can wear pink. I've got one of my favorite ties is a pink and black tie that I wear. I love that tie. Mm-hmm. I've got a purple tie. It's just that it
it's
seems
one thing
like,
to wear a tie. We were talking sweater.
Yeah,
that's all encompassing.
But the point being here, it seems like he goes out of his way on game day or press conference day to wear the pink or the purple.
Yeah. Maybe he wears it every day and you just don't see him on those other days.
That could be. You know what? That could be.
Maybe he's just rocking pink and purple.
He wore
all
like a charcoal
town.
Colored sweater to dinner on Saturday night. Why couldn't he have worn that to the
he
game?
He did. It looked very nice.
It did. It looked
I think
nice.
We complimented him.
The pink sweater.
Yeah.
But sorry, Doc.
Yeah, sorry, Doc. I'm sure you're listening. We will. All right. So Huber next week. Darqueze Dennard. Thanks to our friends from JosephAuto.com. Love having you taking care of us. You're great people over there.
One more reminder: the podcast will probably come a day late next week.
Right, with the Monday night game. So Monday night game pushes us back. So it's but we'll get it up as soon as we can.
It'll be for your Christmas Eve listening pleasure, probably.
Ooh.
about that?
How many people? Listen, I'm like, I love our podcast listeners.
I think they're great.
They're fantastic people. They're diehards. Some people have told me it's the one way they always get their Bengals news during the week. If you are sitting around Christmas Eve listening to our podcast,
Eve morning?
No, get. Don't, okay?
Please do.
Maybe in the AM, but if it's afternoon.
You know what we can do?
Hang out with your family. No. Go hug someone.
Here's what we're going to do. Our Christmas Eve podcast will include us talking interspersed with Christmas music. We'll talk for like 3 minutes, play a Christmas tune.
And then sing carols, and then you'll sing in the club.
There we go. That's nothing says Christmas like that, Paul.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas with 50 Cent.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So time for me to find the exorcism music.
Yep.
Let's bring that in. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Scribe Session, and we will talk to you next week.